We'll drive into the November 17, 2012 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain replay from December 1996. Its contents applies today essentially as much as it did 16 years ago. Here's RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP.
This is the RAIN Report. Many of us use antennas on our vehicles, especially for VHF-UHF operation. But do you know why some of those antennas are quarter wave, while others are 5/8? And how do 2 meters and 440 coexist on the same antenna? These answers and more will be forthcoming in this excerpt from a talk by Steve Ron, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for MaxRad Incorporated, an antenna manufacturer based in Hanover Park, Illinois.
First of all, the wavelength determines the size of the antenna. The longer the wavelength, the longer the antenna we have to have. It also determines propagation characteristics. And that's one of the fundamentals of DXing. The longer the wavelength, the further it can travel. One thing I want to point out is that obviously wavelength, the physical characteristics cannot be changed. The reason we bring that up is that obviously, you know, wavelengths will, you know, curve and they can be changed, but the physical characteristics that at a certain frequency you need a certain wavelength, that cannot be changed. And the reason I bring that up is as an antenna manufacturer, a lot of people ask us to change the rules of physics. They say they want a high gain antenna at a low frequency, but only want it to be, you know, 12 inches tall. Well, that can't be done. So that's why I bring up the fact that basically antenna wavelength characteristics cannot be changed. Antennas perform best when they're actually resonators. An example of this is a tuning fork. A tuning fork, if you hit it on a table, you can barely hear the sound throughout the room. But if you put it on a table or a box, you're going to hear a nice sound radiating throughout the room. That's because that box is tuned to that frequency. Same thing with an acoustic guitar. If you pluck a string and it's not on the guitar, you probably won't hear anything. You pluck a string on the guitar, and since the guitar is actually a resonator, it sends out the frequencies. The impedance must match. The standard of the industry is pretty much a 50 ohm impedance. So the antenna must match the impedance of the radio. 50 ohms is pretty much the standard for two-way radio communications. 90 ohms is kind of the standard for cable TV. They've picked 50 ohms because it's the perfect match between power and efficiency of the cable. We talked a little bit about wavelength. The positive is exactly the same as the negative. They're just a mirror image of each other. The wavelengths are identical except for the polarity. Only half of the wave actually has to be used. And that's very important in antenna design. By using just half wave, we've created what they call a half wave dipole. One of the problems with using a full wave is at 10 meters, because you know, when we talk 10 meters, that's basically the size of the wave. So when we do it for commercial two-way radio applications, we talk about 10 meters, it's going to be over 200 inches. So if we were to design an antenna using a half wave, we'd have to have an antenna that's over 200 inches long. Well, that's obviously going to be a problem if you try to mount that on a mobile vehicle. So what we've done is actually taken a half wave and divide that half wave into two parts. The first part is called the radiating element, and the second part is called the ground plane. Now, one thing very important about the ground plane, it needs to be a conductive surface, and it needs to be a mirror image, which means it needs to be at a 90 degree angle to the radiating element. The engineers tell me that there's about a 5 degree error that you can put in there. So this could be 95 or 85 degrees. But anything more than that and you really are eliminating the goodness of the ground plane. So that's one thing you want to make sure of when installing a mobile antenna. Number one, it's installed on a conductive surface. Otherwise, you'll have to put a conducting surface in there. And secondly, you need it to be at a 90 degree angle to the conducting surface. The ground plane also must be a minimum of a quarter wave in length. So if you're using a 10 meter antenna, you have to have at least about 100 inches of ground plane available. It doesn't have to be in a circular pattern around the radiating element. It can be in a cross pattern. By taking that quarter wave, or 50 inches or so for 10 meters, we've actually created what we call a quarter wave antenna. Quarter wave antenna is the most common antenna you've seen. In VHF, you see them a lot on police vehicles, public safety vehicles. Basically just a little chrome nut piece on the bottom with a piece of wire sticking out the top. That's basically called a quarter wave. There's a couple things unique about the quarter wave. First of all, it's called a unity gain antenna. We will use the term unity gain, and what it basically means is what goes into the antenna is going to come out of the antenna, no more and no less. You get a little bit of, you know, technically if you want to talk about it, you get a little bit of loss in the cable, a little bit of loss in the connector, but basically on a unity gain, what goes in the antenna also comes out of the antenna. We will use that as the reference standard. So when we talk about gain, it's gain over a quarter wave unity gain antenna. The other thing that's common about a quarter wave antenna is we had talked about the 50 ohms. The antenna has to be 50 ohms to resonate properly. A quarter wave by nature is 50 ohms. So we don't have to do anything to it as far as a matching coil or anything like that. Let's talk about antenna size. Obviously, when we talked about the quarter wave antenna, it's 102 inches approximately for 10 meters. Okay, that still is too long for a basic mobile antenna application. So what we've done is taken that 102 inches and disguised part of it. And where that disguise goes is in the coil on the bottom of the antenna. Okay, so if you were to take all the wire out of this antenna coil right here and connect it to the bottom of the rod, if you'd measured from the top of the rod and stretched it all out, it would be approximately 102 inches. So by taking a coil and putting it on the bottom of a quarter wave antenna, we actually now have a unity gain antenna at 10 meters with part of the 102 inches hidden actually in the coil on the base of the antenna. Now at 2 meters, since your wavelength is significantly shorter than 10 meters and we don't have to worry about the 102 inches, what we can do at 2 meters is design a gain antenna, but now since it's not a quarter wave, it's not a 50 ohm antenna, so what we have to do is in the coil is actually an impedance matching coil. But one of the common misunderstandings of antennas is you look at these coils and you say, well, okay, this must be a 10 meter antenna, so you know the rest of the rod is hidden in there. In that case, it's true. But in this case, I've got a VHF antenna. There's really the only reason this coil is used is to match the impedance of this antenna to make it a 50 ohm antenna. So by just looking at the outside of the antenna, not knowing what kind of an antenna it is, you really can't tell whether the coil is being used to lower the length or whether the coil is being used to match the impedance of the antenna. Okay, when we get up into higher frequencies and we're using shorter wavelengths, we're able to create gain. At 2 meters, 50 inches is basically a 5/8 wave. At 5/8 wave, we have by nature a 3 dB gain over unity. That was over the unity antenna I was just talking about, the quarter wave. 3 dB will actually double the effective power of your radio, and we use the term ERP, effective radiating power. What that allows us to do with a 3 dB gain antenna is if you have 25 watts going into the antenna, you're going to get 50 watts of effective radiating power out of the antenna. 5/8 wave antennas are very popular in 2 meters, very popular also in the VHF spectrum of public safety.
You're listening to a talk by Steve Ron, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for MaxRad Incorporated. He'll continue his talk in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
When we get into the higher frequencies, the UHF frequencies, what we can actually do is design two antennas in one. This antenna is basically a 5/8 wave antenna on top of a half wave antenna. By having these two antennas together, we use this actually, it's called a phasing coil on the inside. So we're able to send the signal out in phase, and what that does is produce a 5 dB gain antenna. Now, if you remember your basic electronics, every 3 dB doubles the power. So at 5 dB, we haven't quite doubled it again, but we're pretty close to it. So with a 25-watt input into a 5 dB gain antenna, you're going to get less than about 70 watts of effective radiating power. Now, one thing you have to be careful with, not necessarily with mobile antennas, but when you talk about base station antennas, one of the things that a lot of people look at is gain, but gain also narrows the beam width. Now, let me use an example for something like that is a flashlight. If you have a flashlight that has a focusing beam, let's say, and you turn that flashlight on and you shine it around the room, get a pretty wide beam width of the flashlight. That would be comparable to, let's say, a unity gain antenna. But let's say you want that flashlight to shine out further. So you tighten up that beam, you focus that light. All right, now your light's going to shine further, but one thing you've noticed about it, since you focused it, you've taken this wide beam width and actually narrowed it down a little bit. One thing that people a lot of times ask me, well, can I get more gain out of an antenna for mobile? Like, can I get above 5 dB gain? Yeah, you really can, but the higher gains are possible, but not practical because of the physical size of the antenna, especially when we're doing commercial applications. Let me talk a second about that antenna pattern. An example I like to use in an antenna pattern is basically when you're looking at a mobile antenna pattern, two patterns. You've got your vertical pattern and your horizontal pattern. One of those patterns is going to basically be mobile antennas are by nature omnidirectional antennas. So if you want to look at a pattern on that, you'd show a little dot on a circle and draw a bigger circle around it, and that would be basically your antenna pattern on the vertical range. Now, to show an example of what an antenna pattern looks like on the vertical range, the way I use an example of it is if you looked at that antenna, think of a stick with a donut on top of it, and you cut the donut in half. That's basically what your antenna pattern is going to look like. But again, the horizontal pattern would just be a pretty much a plain circle, unless you had something unique about the vehicle where you didn't have the ground plane right, and then it would be somewhat directional. Let's talk about other pattern now, if we can kind of remember what that looked like. This would be a pattern using a gain antenna. It's not a perfect circle. What you're getting, though, is you're flattening out the pattern. Again, using that example of the flashlight, when you've got gain, if you want to talk further, you've got to get it somehow, so you're focusing that beam width and you're flattening it down. You know, when we talk about hitting a repeater, let's say in a rural area, then that kind of pattern is fine. You want to have the gain, you want to talk as far as you can. If you're talking about hitting a repeater on top of a very tall building in an urban area, a 5 dB gain antenna as opposed to a 3 dB gain antenna or a unity gain antenna may not work as well because you've actually flattened out your antenna pattern. Whereas on a unity gain or a 3 dB gain antenna, you get that nice broadband pattern. So you may want to take a look at that. Where this really came beyond theory and into practicality was when cellular telephones first came out. A lot of people thought, well, you know, I'm going to use a 3 dB gain antenna, but I want to talk further, so I'm going to get a 5 dB gain antenna. Well, they threw a 5 dB gain antenna on their window, and they found out that the calls were in poorer quality than a 3 dB gain antenna. Because what they were actually doing is that the 5 dB caused that pattern to go so narrow that they were actually missing the towers. It was almost a straight line away from the car and you couldn't hit the towers. A couple other things that we're able to do with antenna technology is actually take a unique relationship between 144 megahertz and 440 megahertz is that we can actually build dual band antennas. The 2 meter portion is actually a half wave antenna, so it's the entire length of the antenna. The UHF portion is a 5/8 antenna over a half wave antenna. So by having the half-wave antenna with the impedance matcher on the bottom, we're getting 3 dB gain on the VHF side. And by having a 5/8 wave over a quarter wave, that actually gives us 5 dB gain on UHF. So in this case, we're actually combining a couple of things. We're using this, you know, to get the two separate antennas, and then we're taking a coil on the bottom and making it an impedance matcher. So this is a 50 ohm antenna. Now, one thing we have to be very careful with is that the frequencies and the antenna lengths are symmetric. So they're perfectly matched at 144 and 440. Somebody asked me, well, I don't talk 144, but I'm the, you know, volunteer fireman, so I need to talk on 154. Can you shorten this to make it 154? Well, yeah, you can, but now since they're symmetric, you've also shortened the UHF portion, so you can't talk 444, you have to talk 460. On UHF, 5 dB is acceptable as a pretty flat pattern. In fact, the 5/8 wave over the quarter wave, that particular antenna pattern looks real good on UHF. What I said about ground planes is that if you've got, let's say, a quarter wave at 2 meters, okay, quarter wave at 2 meters is about 50 inches. You need to have 50 inches in four corners. Okay, it doesn't have to be a continuous circle of 50 inches, but in four corners. If you have 58 inches, it's not a problem. If you have less than 50 inches, that's when you start getting into, it's not going to be a perfect mirror image. Okay, I haven't really done any antenna patterns less than 50 inches, so I don't know quite what they look like. I know they have a tendency to be directional then, because it's like having a base station antenna with three radials instead of the fourth radial coming out of it. But for UHF, the 5 dB gain gives you a nice good pattern. You go anywhere above that, you don't get a good pattern. Now, one of the questions that a lot of people ask me when they're putting mobile installations is, what do I do if I don't have a ground plane? You know, on a fiberglass vehicle or a boat, we actually design antennas that are no ground plane antennas. What they are is actually a half wave antenna. Okay, so instead of using the quarter wave with the other portion of the half wave being the ground plane, you get the entire half wave in the antenna length. What suffers there is gain. Okay, you can't really have a 3 dB gain, 2 meter antenna on a no ground plane. You can have a unity gain, because what we've actually done is taken and caused it to be a half wave.
Steve Ron, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for MaxRad Incorporated, a Hanover Park, Illinois antenna manufacturer. The preceding was excerpted from his forum held at Radio Expo 97 in Grays Lake, Illinois. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
This has been a Rain replay from December 1996. Before we go this week, I have an invitation for your radio story. You can read about it on therainreport.com on the front page under Radio Stories 2012. That's Radio Stories 2012 on the opening screen of therainreport.com. We hope you'll read the invite there and send us your own personal radio story. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for all connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.